Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, just a quick poll here, quick show of hands. How many of you like having a to-do list? Maybe you have one written down. If you don't have a to-do list, your spouse probably would lovingly and helpfully provide one for you. A list of things you need to get done. Now, it's always interesting what we put at the top of our to-do list. So if I have one thing I want to get done this entire day, this is it. That's what goes at the top of your to-do list. In our gospel lesson today, it's interesting to see what Jesus has at the top of his to-do list. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three describe that the first thing Jesus does after his baptism, when his public ministry begins, is to go out into the wilderness to do battle with the devil. It's the first thing on his agenda, the first thing on his to-do list. It's the reason he's here. He's not here to avoid the devil. He goes out in the wilderness to take on the devil, teaching us about doing spiritual combat with the enemy. Most importantly, when everything is said and done after 40 days, it is Jesus who emerges with the victory. So let's look at our gospel lesson today, Matthew chapter 4, to learn about the spiritual battle that we find ourselves engaged in. And learn about the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. First of all, we need to know, number one, the enemy. The enemy is the devil. And Matthew refers in his gospel to the devil by three different names. First, his Greek name, the devil, which means the accuser. Jesus also refers to him by his Hebrew name, Satan, which means the adversary or the enemy. He's also referred to here as the tempter, which is, of course, what he spends most of his time doing, attacking us through temptation to sin. That's who we're battling against, the accuser, the adversary, the enemy, the tempter. That's what he does. But who is Satan and where does he come from? If you want to read Satan's origin story, turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation 12 describes when Satan, who once was an angel of God, fell from heaven. Revelation 12, beginning at verse 7, says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." So Satan is one of the Lord's own angels, and he leads a rebellion against God with other angels. Notice the war is Satan and his angels against Michael, the archangel, the chief angel, the leader of the good angels, and his angels. So the opposite of Satan is not God, but Michael. There is no opposite of God. Angels are more powerful than we are, but they are not infinitely powerful. Only God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and present everywhere. There is no opposite of God, but there are evil creatures, evil beings that are more powerful than us, known as demons or evil angels. Satan and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. He's referred to here as the great dragon because that's a big snake, right? He's the same snake that was there in the Garden of Eden, tempting Adam and Eve. He was defeated and was thrown down. Not to hell, but to earth. The planet we live on is the place where Satan currently dwells, and that's why earth is such a mess.
That's why Jesus comes to earth, to do battle with the enemy, to do battle with the devil. And right after his baptism, Jesus goes out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Number two, let's talk about his tactics. What does the devil do? And again, we can learn from Matthew chapter 4, the three temptations that the devil attacks Jesus with. These temptations give us insights into the tactics of the devil. They give us insight into how Satan will attack and tempt us. The first temptation is for Jesus to use his divine power to turn stones into bread. And that tells us about how absolutely ruthless Satan is. First of all, Satan, the devil, is ruthless. He does not play fair. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, of course, the right verses right before that say Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and
He was hungry. You know, it's hard for me not to eat, you know, every 40 minutes. But Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. The Bible says he was hungry, which is a masterful understatement. He's more than hungry, of course. He is famished. He is starving in the most literal sense of the word. Satan goes immediately for where he thinks Jesus will be the most vulnerable. He is going to go after him and his hunger. Surely, Satan can easily turn that against Jesus, he thinks. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You don't have to be hungry. Make no mistake, Satan does not play fair. He will tempt you where you are most vulnerable. He will prey on any weaknesses you have. He will hit you where it hurts the most. His temptations will attack wherever he sees your weakness. Be sure of that and be prepared. Satan is ruthless. He does not play fair. Second of all, Satan twists the scriptures. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Another way Satan attacks us is by twisting the scriptures for his own use. Make no mistake, Satan knows the scriptures better than you do. He doesn't believe them, but he knows them. Satan always wants to undermine God's word and use the scriptures against us. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. Remember how he started his attack in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say? Here he tries to use a bad interpretation of Psalm 91 to get Jesus to jump off the highest point of the temple. God says he will protect you with his angels. Go ahead and jump off the top of the John Hancock building or the Willis Tower. Feel free, Jesus. Jesus, of course, sees right through Satan's perversion of scripture and reminds him that the Bible says not to put the Lord to the test. Satan loves to use false doctrine and scripture verses out of context in order to get us to disobey the Lord. That's why it's so important to be in church Sunday mornings or Saturday nights, to be at Bible study or Sunday school, because we need to be prepared against the devil twisting the scriptures and using them against us. We need to know the scriptures as well as we can by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be prepared for his attacks. Number three, the devil makes empty promises. He takes Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Finally, Satan uses empty promises to try to lure us and tempt people into disobeying God. If you bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Now, people argue about whether Satan has the power to do that. I think that's irrelevant. Yes, he's called the prince of this world and the prince of the power of the air. He does have power in this world. But it really doesn't matter what he says, because he would never have done it. Whatever Satan promises, he doesn't expect to keep his promise. He's not going to bind himself to a contract. He is a liar and the father of lies. Satan loves to promise people the world and ends up giving them nothing, only pain and suffering and death. He is the liar and the father of lies. And as Jesus says, when he lies, he speaks his native language. Satan will tell you whatever you want to hear and has no intention of keeping any promises he makes. Jesus recognizes this and that this is just one of many empty promises the devil will offer. He does not trust Satan in any way. Instead, he puts his trust in his Father and in God's word, the scriptures. That's what Jesus will do. He puts his trust in the word of God, not the lies, the empty promises of Satan. Which brings us to number three, the weapon. The weapon we have against Satan, which Jesus shows us how to use, is God's word. Jesus does battle with Satan and defeats Satan. Now, he could have done that a lot of different ways as the all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent Son of God. He could have just blasted Satan to atoms. He could have just commanded Satan to leave him alone and he would have had to obey. But Jesus defeats Satan in a way that will help us using the greatest spiritual weapon available to us, the greatest spiritual weapon on this planet, which is the Bible, the Word of God. Three times Satan tempts Jesus, and three times Jesus answers with one word, gegriptai. Gegriptai is Greek for "it is written." Jesus answers three times, "it is written, it is written, it is written." He doesn't argue with the devil. He doesn't engage him in conversation. He doesn't make a deal with the devil. He doesn't try to trick the devil. He simply quotes scripture. He quotes the word of God to him, rightly interpreted, and the devil has no defense. This is the way the Lord encourages us to defend ourselves when we are attacked by the devil. Not if we're attacked by the devil, when we are attacked by the devil, we need to stand on the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Now, most of the armor of God is defensive, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, so on and so forth. But one piece of armor is for offense. Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are to use God's word for standing up to the devil and resisting temptation. God's word is our ultimate weapon against the devil. Although we are armed against the devil, many times we will fail to stand up to him. We will give in to temptations. There will be times when we fall for his lies. We are sinful human beings after all, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, which is why it's so important to know that the ultimate victory against the devil doesn't rest on our shoulders. The ultimate victory has already been won by Jesus Christ. And that's number four, the victory. Jesus in the wilderness completely defeats the devil in the wilderness. It says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The devil goes 0-for-3 against Jesus. Three strikes and he's out. Jesus tells Satan, be gone. You've had your shot. It's over. Go away. And of course, the devil leaves him until an opportune time. And God's good and holy angels come and minister to Jesus. This would be the first defeat that the devil would suffer at Jesus' hand. It won't be the only one. It would be the first of many. Everywhere Jesus went, Jesus healed people, forgave people's sins, and cast out demons. Everywhere Jesus went, the kingdom of the devil retreated and the kingdom of God was expanded. Everywhere Jesus went, Jesus defeated the devil at every single turn. Because this is what Jesus came to do. This is the top of Jesus's to-do list. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. During his earthly ministry, Jesus won victory after victory against the devil. But the ultimate victory that Jesus won came when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again to defeat sin and death and the devil once and for all. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the ultimate victory over the devil. And that is good news for us. Ultimately, victory doesn't lie in our hands. It doesn't rest on our shoulders. Why? Because Jesus Christ has won the victory. The devil is our enemy. But we must always remember he is a defeated enemy. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil, not for his own sake, but for us. The victory belongs to us through Jesus Christ. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.